Full Service Radio is proudly supported and hosted by Simplecast, the easiest way for a podcast creator to publish and distribute audio on the internet. For more information, visit simplecast.com.
Tune in to Full Service Radio.
Full Service Radio.
Full Service.
Full Service.
Full Service.
Full Service Radio.
Welcome to This Miraculous Life, broadcasting and recording live from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. I'm your host, Sarah Oliveri Olumba, and I created this podcast because I have a belief that life is a profound, miraculous gift. But I also have an experience and an observation that there's so much bullshit that gets in the way of us experiencing it that way. Ideas about what our life should be, trying to impress other people, trying to live up to arbitrary goals and standards, worrying about other people's approval, worrying about if we have thousands of dollars in our bank account. You know, there's hundreds and millions of things that sort of plague our minds and inhibit us from experiencing life as what it truly is, which is, frankly, the most incredible, mind-blowing experience that could possibly be. So this show is all about clearing away the bullshit and helping us to tune in with the miraculousness of life. I have a master's degree in positive psychology, which is essentially the science of human thriving, and I have a life coaching practice here in Washington, D.C. So I integrate both of those into the advice and the information that's shared here on the show, as well as, of course, my own personal opinion and experience. I'm here today with our amazing studio engineer, Ms. Alexia Brown. Hey, Alexia.
Hi, how are you, Sarah?
I'm good. It's been a long couple of weeks, but I'm hanging in there. I'm happy to be alive. I'm thankful that I get to do what I love, but you know, sometimes everyone gets tired.
Yes.
that is a little bit how I feel. How about you?
Tired, but again, like, very grateful that it's finals and I feel a lot of pressure to perform, but
yeah.
Like, I'm glad to be in this position.
Totally.
It's fine.
Yeah, college is a weird time in life because it's like nothing, at least my experience of college was like nothing, like no work whatsoever. Basically, I didn't think the class assignments were that demanding, so it's like zero work, tons of free time, like absolute the maximum amount of freedom and like not responsibility that we will ever have in life, except for like 2 weeks of just like sheer and utter, you must perform now
pain
at the maximum level or else you fail. So good luck.
Thank you.
I know you got this. Well, we have a letter today that I am eager to read because I think a lot of people will be able to relate. Are you ready to dive in, Alexia?
I'm ready. Let's hear it.
All right. So this letter is from a guy. He identified himself when he wrote to me. Here's what he says. Dear Sarah, 6 months ago, I ended a 2-year relationship. Of course, at first, I felt pretty down. The person I had spent at least 80% of my free time with was gone, vanished from my life. I had to find new ways to occupy my time. More importantly, I had to find new ways to occupy my mind so that I didn't keep dwelling on the failed relationship, the what ifs, the buts, and if onlys. And after a short while, I did end the relationship, that is. I knew the breakup was for the best and that it should be a big stress relief for me. I convinced myself to leave behind the stress and the thoughts attached to this person and concluded the relationship. I was over it. But recently, I've discovered that my ex is seeing someone new. And now I realize that maybe I wasn't over it. And since I haven't managed, and since then, I haven't managed my emotions well. Since I've discovered this piece of news, my mind keeps going back to my ex-girlfriend and our relationship. I think about the good times we had, and I think about the bad times we had. I think about all the mistakes that I made and the mistakes that she made. And when I let my mind get away from me, I think about how her new relationship might be better and happier. I'm not sure if I'm jealous or if somehow knowing my ex is moving on in a new relationship has ignited my own desire for romantic connection. I could be jealous, but why? I forfeited the relationship months ago because I wasn't happy. Neither of us were. I could be yearning for a new partner, a new connection. But again, why? I'm content to have my time and energy all to myself now. I thought I had made the right choice to improve my life. But with this renewed sadness and regret, I'm not so sure. I just can't keep my thoughts quiet. How can I keep from feeling unhappy about this past relationship? How can I leave behind the regret and anxiety that accompany my negative and pointless thought cycles? Thank you for any advice. Sincerely, struggling to get over it. Whew. Well, struggling to get over it, I really appreciate you writing to us because this is honestly a really, really, really common experience that I hear people talk about, you know, in my life coaching practice. This is something that comes up all the time, this feeling that we ended a relationship. When we made the choice to end the relationship, we knew it was the right thing. But then afterwards, there's feelings of sadness, regret, jealousy, and that makes us really question that decision. So I want to address all of this head on, struggling to get over it, because I do. This is something I've been wanting to talk about for some time, and I want to talk about a few things today. I want to talk about how struggling to get over something does not necessarily mean that it was the wrong decision. I want to talk about negative emotion and whether negative emotion is an indicator of our level of happiness. I want to talk about those two things in particular because those seem to be, there seems to be in this letter, struggling to get over it, some common misconceptions that I see all of the time within this letter. And then lastly, I also want to talk about this idea of changing our unhelpful thoughts and strategies there, but also some maybe radical ideas there that I want to share with you. Alexia, can you relate to struggling to get over it at all?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. And not even just in a romantic sense, but with friendships and just opportunities that you know you loved and you really appreciated at one point, but it gets to the point where you're like, maybe this isn't serving me anymore. And I would love to hear what you have to say about being able to coexist with your feelings of regret and sadness over something while also knowing that you made the best decision for yourself. And the fact that I feel like all of those things can exist in one space, but it's definitely hard to deal with on a day-to-day basis when you're trying to rationalize with yourself. Right. Like, how do I feel about this in this moment, knowing that the best thing for me is to move on and pursue something else?
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. How do you coexist with negative feelings? That's a great way of putting it, Alexia. And that is something that is really important to me, and I think an important piece of the happiness and quote-unquote positive psychology puzzle. In fact, it's the reason that I'm not sure that positive psychology is aptly named. But we'll get into that. So I want to first address this idea that negative emotion is something that should be considered problematic, because I think that that leads directly into the second point, which is that feeling sadness, feeling regret, feeling jealousy, missing someone does not mean that we made the wrong decision, right? That is something that I always emphasize. I know it can be hard to feel that in the moment, but I think if we have clarity on this first piece, then it'll be easier. So here's what I want to say, struggling to get over it, to you, to everyone listening, myself included. And what I want to say is this. Do not let your negative emotions diminish the positive ones. Do not let your feelings of sadness, of jealousy, of exhaustion, of irritation, of frustration, of fear, right? Do not let any of those emotions diminish the other emotions that might also be present, right? For example, it is very, very possible. In fact, I believe it is the epitome of the human condition to, in the very same moment, in the very same phase of life, right, in the very same day, whatever you have, to feel both sadness and joy, to feel both fear and excitement, to feel both frustration and enthusiasm or warmth or love, right? All of those things are real and highly possible. And so, given that information, what that means, what I take away from that, is that our negative emotions are often not indicators that something is wrong in our life, right? They're not giving us information that we need to make a change to disappear these emotions, right? The perfect state of happiness is not a state of the absence of negative emotions. The absence of negative emotions is a state of numbness or of nothingness, right? And so that's the first thing that I want to say. And something that really sort of drove this home for me that I learned that I'll never forget this. And it really helped me to conceptualize that truth, that sadness is not the absence of joy, that just because I'm sad doesn't mean I'm not happy, right? Looking within yourself and seeing, I feel sad, that does not mean, therefore, I must be unhappy with my life. That is not the equation, right? It just means, oh, interesting, I feel sad. There must be something that is making me feel sad. I must have some sadness. I wonder if I'm also happy, right? I wonder if I also feel like I'm making good decisions in my life. You know, I wonder if there are also sources of contentment. Interesting, right? All that is the answer to that. It's not, I feel sad, therefore, I now see that I am actually unhappy. That is incorrect. And here's why. It's because we often think about positive and negative emotions as opposite ends of the same spectrum. So the way that we think about temperature, right? Where below freezing is at the bottom and like 200 degrees Fahrenheit is at the top. Okay. It's either hot outside or it's cold outside. It is not possible for it to be snowing outside and also be 110 degrees with like a hot, humid climate, right? Those two things cannot coexist, as far as I know. That is the way that we think about emotion. We think about sadness, frustration, disappointment, jealousy, missing someone as the snow, or at least that's how I think of it because I'm not a huge fan of winter. And then we think about the sunshine, the heat, the sun getting tanned and burned and all of that good stuff as the happiness, the joy, the fun, you know, the feeling celebratory, feeling loved,
feeling excited, feeling adoration, right? Feeling proud, all of those things. We think of those as opposite ends of the spectrum. And that is actually not at all how emotion functions. And what we learn in psychology is that rather positive emotion, or what we call positive emotion, and negative emotion have their own separate spectrums. Okay? So rather than negative emotion be at the bottom of the temperature spectrum and positive emotion be at the top, think of them as two completely separate thermometers. Okay? Whereby in any given moment, you can have either a great deal of positive emotion and a little bit of negative emotion, or you can have high positive emotion and high negative emotion. In fact, they say that the moments that are most memorable and meaningful in life, and those moments that are often turning points in life, the reason why they touch us so deeply is because of exactly that, because they are moments of high positive and high negative, right? Same with movies. Movies that touch us have high positive, high negative. If it was all positive, it would be super boring, fluffy, like meaningless movie. And if it was all negative, then we would be like, what? This movie is so depressing. So it is the combination of those two things that actually makes life meaningful, right? Or in any given moment, we can have low positive and low negative. We just feel kind of not much in that moment. You know, I think we've all had those moments where we're just kind of existing. We're not feeling super emotional. That's when you're at the bottom of the spectrum on both positive and negative emotion. Or whatever. In any given moment, you could have high negative and low positive. That's maybe, you know, the scenario that we wouldn't want to live with for an extended period of time. But the point is that positive emotion and negative emotion live on completely separate spectrums. And so it is not and never will be the case that having a high amount of negative emotion is an indicator that you do not or cannot have a high amount of positive emotion. And that, for me, is a very important piece of learning, because what it means is that negative emotion does not need to be fixed or disappeared in order for us to tap into happiness. And by the same token, it also means that we need to really think about it before we draw a conclusion that our life is missing or lacking of positive emotions, because feeling a negative emotion is literally irrelevant of that. It may be the case that we're at a phase in our life when we have high negative emotion and low positive emotion, but feeling a negative emotion would not be an indicator of that, right? We would have to dig much deeper and say, okay, I see that I'm feeling a lot of sadness. What else am I feeling? You know? And if the answer is happiness, excitement, you know, joy, laughter, I'm not doing a good job coming up with emotions on the spot today, but there's lots more positive emotions. If we are feeling those, even I think a lot of positive emotions do integrate some fear and anxiety, because there is attachment there. You know, there's something that we care about. And I think that it's important to know that those negative emotions do not diminish the positive. Most of the time, if there's something that we are really excited about, or something that we really care about, something that we feel really invested in, that will come with stress and anxiety. So we really need to take a closer look before drawing a conclusion that a negative emotion means we are missing positive emotion or happiness in our life. Alexia, is this making sense to you? Does it add up?
It does add up. It's a concept I've never heard of before, but I think you explained it beautifully, that we can be experiencing all types of things and you don't have to commit yourself to one mode or another. Right. And right. I think that we hear a lot, or I see a lot maybe on Instagram, where people are like, choose happiness, or, you know, like push through and choose to be grateful. And that makes it feel like you can't be honest about your negative emotions. Right. But I think in order to get to that honest, true place where you are, I guess, choosing to be grateful, you do have to recognize that it's okay to sit on any place on both of those spectrums.
Totally. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Exactly. And I'm a big believer in embracing all emotions. And at the same time, you know, the way that I think about happiness and gratitude, I think that happiness and gratitude, and I know a lot of people don't like the word happiness because of this, but the way that I think about happiness and gratitude is that you can be sad and be happy. You know, like, a happy life includes sadness. And to me, happiness and even like thinking about gratitude and what it's the product of means having a life that feels meaningful and fulfilling, and that doesn't feel like you're wasting your time. You know, it doesn't feel empty, you know. And so by definition, if you are experiencing some of these more powerful negative emotions, then that is not emptiness, you know. And so I think the other thing that I would want people to know is that negative emotion is often a result of a well-lived life, you know, that opening yourself up to rejection, to a breakup, to failure, all of those things result in negative emotion. But those are also the key components to creating a well-lived life and what I would call a happy life. And I think it can't go without saying that something we've talked about in this show before is that taking risks is perhaps one of the most important keys to creating a happy, meaningful, fulfilling life, because you can't, quote unquote, get something for nothing. And being willing to risk failure, setback, rejection is the space in which we create. You know, we make something for ourselves that wouldn't have happened on its own, and that we can really be proud of, and that we can feel like, wow, this is the life that I have created for myself, as opposed to just, this is the life that happened to me, and now here I am in it. We've talked about how that requires risk taking, and I think it can't go unsaid that the definition of taking a risk means that you are exposing yourself to the potential to experience negativity, you know, to experience a lot of stress, to lose something, you know, whether that be money or human beings or your ego or whatever the case may be. And therefore, you're exposing yourself to negative emotions. So that is basically my way of saying that what I would wish for everyone, including struggling to get over it, is that we could develop, here I go, this is where you see my like how my brain works and why I got into this work. My wish for everyone would be that we could develop a more positive relationship with negative emotions, right? Because negative emotions are evidence of life and of living fully and of our humanity. And therefore, they are something to be celebrated and embraced, you know, not something to avoid at all costs. Because if we avoid negative emotions at all costs, we will not be able to take any risks. And if we cannot take any risks, then we cannot have our happiest, most fulfilling life. That is, I could put a flag in the ground and say, I 100% believe that. So struggling to get over it, I read your letter and I think you are happy. From what you said, you know, you gave some hints, right? You said, before I found out that my ex was dating someone new, I felt sure that I had made the right choice. I felt good about my newfound freedom. You know, I felt like I was over it, but also I felt like this was a big stress relief for me. You know, you said that you're content with all your time and the energy that you have to yourself. So what I want to say to you struggling to get over it is that you can be that. You can be content and happy with all this free time that you have to yourself. You can be relieved to have been honest with yourself about deloading the burden of being in a relationship with someone who you really deep down knew wasn't right for you, you know, and you can be inviting fulfilling, meaningful things into your life. And at the same time, you can also feel sadness and jealousy and sort of yearning for this person that you used to date. Why? Because you had an intimate relationship with this person. Like you said, you spent 80% of your free time with this person. You presumably know this person. And even if you realize that they're not so great or that you don't want to be in a relationship with them, and this doesn't seem to be the case, but even if they did something that really hurt you, that doesn't mean that now you just like feel for them as if they were a stranger that you never met. That's not the way that the human emotional system works. You know, you care for this person, right? This is somebody that you had a close, intimate relationship with. And so it is natural that if they are starting to have a close, intimate relationship with someone else, that you're going to feel something. You know, even with any breakup, you said before you saw them. And so I want to raise this as well. Before you saw that they were dating someone new, you said you didn't feel much. And so I want to say two things to people who are listening, who don't feel that, who break up with someone at the time they knew it was the right thing to do. But now, you know, months, weeks, even years later, they're missing that person. They're thinking about that person. That still doesn't mean that you made the wrong choice, right? It just means that there is still a part of yourself that feels for this person or that thinks about the good times that you had. And that is natural. I'm sure, have you seen the movie Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, Alexia?
I haven't, oh, but no. I know the premise. I know what you're saying.
You're such a Gen Zer. Oh my gosh. Anyways, but so yeah, you know the premise. Basically, this guy like wants to lobotomize his brain so that he doesn't have to experience the pain of remembering about the good times with his ex-girlfriend. And that movie is unique because they sort of set it up like these two people are actually meant to be together. But what I want to say is that regardless of whether you're meant to be with the person you broke up with, which I would say 9 times out of 10, you're not. And someone told me this, a wise person told me this years ago. And he said, look, if you were happy together, you wouldn't have broken up. And I was like mad at the time, like, it's not that simple, but maybe it is. And what I find is that like more often than not, it is. Yes, people go through rough times. People break up because they are discovering who they really are or healing from a betrayal or whatever the case may be. Things can work out after a couple breaks up. But I think most often when we break up, that is the brave thing to do. And therefore, that is the right thing to do. But that being said, it's natural and normal and healthy to feel sad that you've eliminated from your life somebody that you cared about enough to even be with them in a romantic way in the first place. And so that is not evidence that the breakup was the incorrect decision. And I think that that's why people often end up getting back together, because they take that as evidence that it was, and it's not. The only thing that would be evidence that it's appropriate to get back together if there's some sort of major change in either of you, some sort of major behavioral change or value shift, something that would sort of catastrophically shift the ground on which the relationship was standing that caused it to break up in the first place. So I want to say that, you know, it's natural, it's healthy to feel sadness, to feel negative emotions after a breakup. And those negative emotions are by no means evidence that the breakup was the wrong choice. But then also, in your letter, struggling to get over it, you mentioned that you specifically felt this negative emotion crop up when you learned that your ex was starting a new relationship. And so what I would say to you is this even about your ex? You know, if it's just about her new relationship, if you weren't feeling any of this sadness of missing her, of feeling jealous, of questioning your choice before she had a new relationship, it's not about her. You know, you would have missed her before she had a new boyfriend if you really missed her. Right. So what this sounds like to me is a case of the demons. You know, I think most of us are indoctrinated with this idea that in order to be happy, we have to be partnered. And as we've talked about in prior episodes, that's not true. The research is indicating that it is false that people who are single for their whole lives are less happy than people who are married or who are not single. In fact, the research that I quoted in a previous show shows that people who get married are actually a little bit less happy than people who never get married. And people who get divorced are less happy than both of those groups of people. Okay. So being single does not preclude you from happiness, but I think we're all trained to, on some level, believe that to be true and to think that we have to have a partner in order to be happy. And then on top of that, indoctrinated with this belief that if we do not meet said partner by a certain age, then we lose our chance, right? The opportunity to do that goes out the window, and we basically blew it for happiness for the rest of our life. So we can logically say that those things are not true, but that doesn't mean that they aren't demons that we've internalized. And what I really wonder in this letter, struggling to get over it, is if this is more about your demons and your own quote unquote contingencies of self-worth, those values or criteria on which you've staked your worth and your own ability to be happy, and less about your ex-girlfriend at all. So that's, you know, that's something for you to think about. The last thing that I want to talk about is your question about, you said, how can I keep regret and anxiety and negative, pointless thought cycles from occurring and getting to me? So there's a couple of things here. The first one is, yeah, you can definitely do things to interrupt those negative thought cycles. That's a big part of what positive psychology, as well as cognitive behavioral therapy, is all about. We talked actually in two episodes ago, the episode which is about how to tap into confidence, the science of confidence, how to confidence, I think the episode is called, how to confidence. So check that episode out. But one of the things that we talk about there is noticing these little liars that talk to us in our brain. And they are called cognitive distortions. And what I find to be true in my own life, as well as my interactions with clients and them sharing their negative thought patterns with me, is that more often than not, when we are engaging in a negative thought pattern, we are falling into a cognitive distortion. And a cognitive distortion means when we are telling ourselves a story about the facts of what happened, and we are taking the story as part of the facts, which it is not. It's a story, it's a belief, it's a creation of the mind. It's not a fact. And then we take that fact and we sort of plan, we start planning all of life based on the reality of that fact, which it is not a fact. So, for example, a cognitive distortion could be my ex-girlfriend hates me, right? If she said that, well, maybe you can take that as fact. But frankly, even if an ex says that, I wouldn't take that 100% as fact, because as we discussed earlier, emotions are complex. There are multiple emotions can coexist in the same moment. And we do not know all of what is inside another person's mind, right? So a cognitive distortion, though, is, for instance, taking a person's behavior and extrapolating from their behavior what they think or feel towards us. Okay, so basically, if somebody does, you know, if somebody ignores me when I see them on the street, I might extrapolate that and say, oh, they hate me. You know, they hate my podcast. They think that the work that I do is garbage. And they were mad at me for slighting them this other time. You know, you get the point. And so I'm taking them ignoring me on the street and extrapolating all these beliefs that this person has about me because they ignored me, when in reality, they might have just not seen me, right? They might be listening to music on their wireless earbuds. They might be having a bad day themselves, right? So all of those things could also be true. Therefore, me making an interpretation about their actions as it relates to myself, that would be a cognitive distortion. Other cognitive distortions can be minimizing or maximizing. So it would be maximizing, sort of blowing out of proportion something challenging that happened. Like, let's say our boss, you know, gives some critical feedback on our work. Then we might go home. We might be ruminating, saying to myself, oh my gosh, my boss thinks I'm an idiot. I'm going to get fired, etc. That would be catastrophizing or maximizing. Minimizing would be if our boss actually praises us at work, or if we get a promotion and then people are like, that's awesome. You did a great job. You know, you must be so proud. You've been working really hard. I'm really, you know, I think your work is really impressive and inspiring. And then we're saying to ourselves, oh, they're just saying that, you know, this promotion wasn't that big of a deal. What's really more of a big deal is this criticism that I got the other week. Okay, so that would be minimizing. There's another cognitive distortion that I think you might be falling into, struggling to get over it, which is called, it's called discounting the positive, something like that. Discounting the good, discounting the positive. But basically what it means is not allowing ourselves to internalize or take into account the good things that are happening. So for example, you know, if we are going through a hard time, let's say we're going through a divorce, just for example, and then, you know, we're having all these difficulties. There's financial difficulties, there's law difficulties, there's a lot of emotional difficulties and relational difficulties. But at the same time, good things are happening. You know, we are getting promoted at work. We're developing a new friendship with someone. We actually are in the best shape of our lives. Dismissing the positive or dismissing the good would be like brushing those things off. Oh, yeah, well, I got this promotion, but that's not that big of a deal. You know, I've been working towards that for 10 years. It was bound to happen around this time. What's really going on is that, you know, this bad thing just happened with the lawyer. I'm draining my bank account. My friend is mad at me. So do you see what that looks like, Alexia? Mm-hmm. The dismissing the positive? Yeah. So all of those things, struggling to get over it, are cognitive distortions. So the number one recommendation that I have for you in interrupting your negative thought patterns are doing some research on what cognitive distortions are and then identifying which ones are most relevant to you. Which ones do you find yourself falling into most often? And then you can notice when you're doing it. And when you notice that you're doing it, then you know. Then you're like, oh, this is a cognitive distortion. And you can interrupt the thought pattern. You can talk back to yourself and say, okay, Sarah, you know that what you're doing right now is mind reading. Yeah, maybe that person doesn't like you, but maybe they're also just having a shitty day. Like, that is also an option. So that is how I can interrupt my own ruminations. That is my number one piece of advice. Learn the cognitive distortions, learn which ones apply to you, and then make an intention to notice if you are falling into a cognitive distortion, and then if possible, talk back to the distortion once you notice it. Sometimes you'll only notice it in retrospect, and that's okay too. That still helps. But that being said, the other thing that I need you to know, struggling to get over it, is that in the same way that it is natural and healthy to have negative emotions, and that is not evidence of your unhappiness, right? It is exceedingly difficult to eliminate ruminations or negative thoughts. And I find that people often are trying so hard to eliminate the negative thoughts, to eliminate the questioning thoughts, to eliminate the anxious thoughts before getting started on something that they never get started, you know? And so for me personally, it has been incredibly valuable in my life to accept that I can call myself out on my cognitive distortions. I can interrupt that thought pattern. And sometimes I'm still going to ruminate, you know, anxiety. I can't say that I have clinical anxiety necessarily, but anxiety is something that I struggle with. And I ruminate about things sometimes even after I know it's a cognitive distortion, right? And so accepting that and understanding that that is just part of the package, it's basically like a tick that my brain has, that is really important. And not sometimes trying to make it go away is even worse, because then your brain is like, oh no, I'm not gonna go away. Who do you think you are? So what I want you to know is that anxious thoughts, worrying thoughts are natural and normal, and we can thrive in every which way, even with those, provided that we don't give away our power to those thoughts. When those thoughts really begin to cause us to struggle is when we empower them to dictate the choices that we make. And so know that you can coexist with those thoughts and still know that they are not true and not give away your power to them. You can say, oh, wow, I'm really nervous and I'm really worried about this, and yet I'm going to do it anyway. Or you can say, wow, I'm really finding myself pestering myself that breaking up with my girlfriend was the wrong choice and I'm never going to meet anyone new and maybe I should have worked harder at that relationship. And you can still know that you made the right choice for you, and you can still enjoy the moments of joy, the moments of sun on your face, the freedom that you now have access to. So we need to wrap up, but I want to summarize the important points from today. The number one most important thing from today, I would say, is this awareness that positive emotion and negative emotion do not live at opposite ends of the same spectrum. They have their own spectrum. And therefore, negative emotion is not evidence that you are unhappy. You would have to also look and find evidence that there is no positive emotion in your life. Okay? So just because you're sad doesn't mean that you're not happy. It could also happen to be the case that you are sad and also missing positive emotion, but the negative emotion is not evidence of that. And so, A, don't make the mistake of believing that, and B, don't let the negative emotion diminish the positive emotion that you also have access to and very well may be experiencing in that same moment. And understand that negative emotion and difficult emotions are part, a healthy part of a meaningful, fulfilling, well-lived life, and they are not evidence that we are doing something wrong. Okay. The second thing is going along with that, after we break up with someone, understand that it's natural and healthy to miss them, to feel sad, to feel any range of negative emotions. And that also is by no means evidence that the breakup was the wrong choice, particularly if the breakup was an act of bravery, right? Or if you took a risk in order to create this breakup, then that is much stronger evidence that it was the right choice, even if there's sadness following the breakup. The third thing is, if you don't feel those emotions crop up until your ex has a relationship with someone new, really check in and try to understand, is this about the ex or is this about demons, about fears that I have been indoctrinated with in my own life? And how do I tease apart those demons from this specific person and then address those demons directly in my life? Right. And then the last big thing is talking about the negative emotions that, or rather the negative thought patterns that a lot of us struggle with. I know that I do, whether it's questioning ourselves, ruminating thoughts or worries, really anticipating the worst possible outcome. Those things happen. So there's two things that I want us to remember there. One is learn about the cognitive distortions, learn which ones are most common to you, and then set an intention to be able to notice when you're falling into a cognitive distortion and speak back to that distortion, even if you have to do it in retrospect, not in the moment that the distortion is happening. Both will be useful. But then the second thing is accept that some of these ruminating, anxious thoughts may be a part of your life, but you don't have to let them dictate your behaviors, your choices. You don't have to let them rob you of your joy. And going back to the point that risk-taking is an essential ingredient to a happy life and often produces negative emotions, risk in the same way, risk-taking often produces worry and anxiety, which go along with ruminating thoughts. So understand that if you are living bravely and courageously, it is also highly possible that you will incur some worries, some ruminations, and some negative emotions. And that is not evidence that you're doing the wrong thing or that you are diminishing your chances of living a happy life. So now that we know this, we can embrace the negative emotions and see them as evidence of our bravery. Have a miraculous day.
Thanks for listening to this program on Full Service Radio, broadcasting and recording from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. Full Service Radio programming can be accessed live and archived on fullserviceradio.org. Our talk programming is available on most podcast apps like iTunes and Stitcher, and our DJ sets are available on mixcloud.com/fullserviceradio. Full Service Radio features over 30 weekly shows and over 50 local hosts covering every topic imaginable. If you want to be a guest or get involved, email us at info@fullserviceradio.org. Follow us on Twitter @FullServiceRDO, on Instagram and Facebook @FullServiceRadio. Thanks for listening.